Welcome to this bonus episode of the Ludlow Piano Festival podcast. I'm here with Alistair McGowan, founder, chair, co-artistic director of the Ludlow Piano Festival. We're here in Ludlow, in his home, and welcome to the podcast, Alistair.
Thank you, John.
What drew you to the piano in the first place? How did you get into it? And what was the transition like from actor, comedian, impressionist to pianist?
Well, I was lucky, I suppose, in that my mother was a very good pianist, and she played a lot at home when I was younger, mainly show songs. She was the accompanist at the local amateur dramatic society in Evesham, not far from here. So I often heard piano music floating around the house, and my father loved listening to piano music on records. And so I was just aware of the instrument from an early age. We had a piano in the house, and I took lessons, or was told to take lessons, from the age of 7 to the age of 9. And then I gave it up. It clashed with football practice. But certainly hit puberty, let's say, I was aware of the power of the piano and the beauty of the piano in a way I'd never been aware of it when I was 7 or 8 years old. So I always wanted to go back to it. And finally, age 49, I properly went and seriously started throwing myself at the piano and doing 2 or 3 hours a day, and then put a show together about Eric Satie, which I'd always wanted to do because I'd always loved Satie's music. And I'd heard his music, which is something a lot of people talk about now. You don't hear classical music in the same way, but a lot of music was used on adverts on television programs when I was growing up. And I heard Satie's Gymnopédie played on a school's drama. And I happened to be at home off school with my mum, and I said, "What's that music? It's beautiful." She said, "Oh, that's Eric Satie's Gymnopédie." And I think in that moment, age 10, 12, I thought, I've got to play that piece of music one day. And that's what drew me back, doing a show about Satie. And then from there, I was heard playing in that show by somebody who happened to be in the audience from Sony Classics. And they said, "Would you like to do an album?" And I thought, well, I can only play 2 pieces all the way through. The rest, I've just played the bits I can play in the show. But I went away and worked for 6 hours a day for about 4 months with Anthony Hewitt, who's a wonderful pianist. And he schooled me and just said, "I want people to hear this album and think it's me playing." And that was a wonderful gesture of Anthony's. And he just worked me so hard. And that was 2017. And then I've just carried on since then. I started doing live piano work. And then moving to Ludlow, I was aware that there were these 2 fantastic venues with 2 fantastic pianos in them, which weren't being used as much as I thought they should be. And I thought, if you could just get a nice third venue, there's something pleasing about a triangular shape. And now we have our third venue into which we hire a piano. And suddenly the festival idea took shape. And with the help of you, yourself, and our fantastic team around us, we've managed to pull it off last year. And lots of people said straight away, as soon as it finished on the Sunday last year, "You must do this again next year." So
last year was a huge success. We had most concerts selling out or near to selling out.
Yeah.
What have we got in store for the upcoming concert? What are you most looking forward to?
It's so hard to single anything out. I'm looking forward to absolutely every event, which is the nice thing. And I feel like a child let loose in a sweet shop and then told to pick his own sweets for everybody else to enjoy. It's been wonderful to say, you know, this is one of my favorite pianists, these are my favorite pieces, and to have so many of them come and play. So I'm looking forward to absolutely everything. Silent movies with an accompaniment is something that I've been present at once or twice, and it's very special. And I've always loved Laurel and Hardy films, Charlie Chaplin, Buster Keaton. We've got one of each of their films, and that's being accompanied on a Sunday morning, the 26th. So I'm looking forward to that hugely. And some of the soloists as well. Martin James Bartlett is he won the Young Musician of the Year in 2014. I played in a concert with him once when I was just starting out, and I loved listening to and watching Martin. He plays the piano physically like nobody else I've ever seen. So I'm looking forward to seeing that. Our closing act was somebody who sent us a submission. We have quite a few people sending submissions and saying, "Could I play for you?" And this gentleman, Scipione San Giovanni, sent us something from Italy, and his style and his choice of music just bamboozled me. And he's going to be playing for us a mixture of things from Purcell, however you want to pronounce it, Bach, Vivaldi, through to Nirvana and Radiohead. And I just thought, this sounds remarkable. I said to him, "Can we call your show Baroque and Roll?" Perhaps not the most original pun, but he said yes, he liked that. So that's Baroque and Roll, and that's what you're getting.
I think the punters are enjoying it as well. So
good.
When we first started talking about putting the first festival together last year, I know it was really important to you that it was eclectic and it appealed, you know, widely, but also had lots more than just, you know, piano recitals where you sit down, you listen, you walk away, that it was more engaging than that. How do you think you've sort of gone about talking to potential artists? You know, we've had a lot of people and conversations around opening up the idea of what a piano recital is. What's that process been like? And have you found that artists have been very willing to sort of adapt to a maybe playing slightly shorter works or, you know, as you said, arrangements of maybe unusual things, an eclectic program that involves perhaps some dance elements or something else? Do you find people are very willing to do that sort of thing?
Yeah, I think on the whole, one or two pianists aren't, and you respect that. And, you know, I'm the same with my comedy. I'm sure you don't want to change the way you've always done something. But I think there is quite a feeling that, you know, some of the presentation of classical piano music and music in general, classical music in general, can be quite staid. And nothing wrong with that. A lot of people enjoy that. But it's also nice to be able to break the rules a little bit. And I think coming at this world from the world of comedy and show business, if you like, I'm very keen to sell the show and to sell the music, because there is so much beautiful music and so many talented pianists. But perhaps they feel a little bit hidebound. And even though they can't admit it, because then they won't get booked, they can come to an event like ours and go, oh, the rules are sort of, there aren't any rules. Oh, okay. And I encourage everybody, because that's the show I've done myself, rather cheekily at my level, over the last 4 or 5 years on and off, of talking to the audience in between the pieces. And obviously, in my case, telling jokes and doing impressions, which we're not expecting any of our pianists to do. But just the fact that you can break up the music with chat, I think really appeals to people. Because, you know, a longer form sonata, I mean, they're wonderful things. You can be sitting for 40 minutes just looking at the same person doing the same thing. And some of the music can be quite repetitive. But if you can break it up and have lots of shorter pieces of 5 or 6 minutes, I think the audience are much more engaged by that. Whether it's to do with short attention spans or not, I don't know. People talk about all that now, shorter attention spans. But I just like to know, you know, like when you're listening to Radio 3 or even Classic FM, what the piece was, a little bit of a story about it. What drew the pianist to it? Why did they like it? And to get to know a bit about them. Though not every pianist is going to be a good talker. That's sometimes why they're a good pianist. They speak through their instrument. But I do think every audience, I know I do when I go to recitals, when the pianist just even looks at you or tells you their name or walks on stage and smiles, you know, it means so much more than someone who just comes on, nods, sits down, plays for an hour and a half, and then goes off again. So that's what I wanted to encourage, was a warmth, a sharing of it, just, to break up the music.
Well, we certainly had that last year. And at the pop-up in November, there was a huge warmth, and the audience loved the variety. And the mix of characters we get speaking and playing. So I'm looking forward to it. I know you are too, and everyone else involved. Where can people book their tickets? Do you want to let them know where they can book their tickets?
And
maybe if you want to reveal just a little bit about what they might expect even next year. Are we continuing on?
Yes, well, we're already trying to make plans for 2025, Ludlow Piano Festival. And again, similar sort of thing, just trying to get a really nice balance of things. We've added jazz this year into the events by popular request, and it's something that, you know, I was very keen to do. And also, you know, even next year we might talk about doing a concert which is at some point pop music on the piano, because when you hear people playing the street pianos, I haven't talked about, we, during the 5 days of the piano festival here in Ludlow, we put two very good grand pianos up in the streets, covered against the elements, although last year that wasn't a problem, it was beautiful weather. But it means that anybody can come and play at any time, and you do find that people play a vast array of things. And again, some of that will be pop songs, which I'm not aware of, it's not my world. But that's still valid, it's still the piano, it's still the instrument. And initially I wanted to celebrate classical piano music, but then I realized, no, we should celebrate the instrument for all that it can do. So again, next year we're trying to do that, and again, draw attention to not just the standard composers who you hear a lot of, and why not, that's why they're played, because they are geniuses, but perhaps composers who aren't so well known, and also from countries that we don't hear about. So we're hoping to do a concert next year called Born in the USA. Nothing to do with Bruce Springsteen, but it's all the composers who we don't perhaps realize are from America, which is not a country we associate perhaps with classical music.
Yeah,
classical music's written everywhere. So that's the sort of thing we're trying to involve. And if people want to know about this year, next year, book tickets, it's all there on Ludlow Piano Festival.
And this year, I should also flag, we've got a young artist coming to perform as well, which is really exciting. We've got some pieces by, you know, new pieces by living composers as well. There's a real mix of repertoire and artists, but they're all top-notch and incredibly interesting mixtures of programs that they've given us as well and worked with us on. So
nice thing,
40 something for everyone.
Yeah. And we've got people coming back too, which is lovely. So I think there's a sort of a repertory company, if you like, feel that people like Christina McMaster, who played a beautiful, stunning, such a well put together program last year, full of interesting composers and pieces. She's coming back.
We're hoping to speak with her next week on the podcast.
Well, Christina's doing her Lie Down and Listen concert, which we've been to, and it's an extraordinary experience, as long as nobody snores, where you lie on the mattresses and listen late at night to the music and practically on the edge of consciousness. But it's wonderful. And Anne Lovett, who you spoke to last week, who's one of my favorite impressions too. Not that anybody else will know what Anne Lovett sounds like, perhaps. I don't know, maybe they do. But Anne is coming back to do a concert about film music, which I'm very excited about, because that is something that a lot of people don't realize, where classical music sits, where it comes from. So I'm looking forward to that concert and to always being in Anne's presence. She's a genial, genial person. And possibly one of the pianists I'm most excited about hearing, obviously Charles Owen, who comes every year and is wonderful. Lucy Parham playing Clara Schumann, wonderful pianist. They're all good. Mark Bevington, who's played here before. But Tyler Hay is a youngish pianist who I've seen a couple of times now. And Tyler, I described him as a pianistic powerhouse. I've never seen anybody who made me realize what Franz Liszt must have done to his audience, because Tyler Hay bangs that, well, bangs is a negative word in piano, but he creates such a sound from this piano. He's so strong and yet can be so sensitive at the same time. And Tyler's doing a concert about Beethoven's contemporaries, who are often overlooked. And the music in that will take a lot of people by surprise. And Tyler's playing, and his personality as well is really something to watch. So, I'm looking forward particularly to that. Plus the Strictly concert again, Viv McLean coming back to play while people dance. Got a concert showcasing Victoria Wood's brilliance at the piano and her humour, of course, at the piano. And local lad Liam Dunahy, who plays down in London now regularly, but he's coming back to Ludlow to give us some jazz on the Sunday afternoon. So there really is, I think, something for everybody, which I'm very, very proud of.
Brilliant. That's a great overview. Thank you very much for joining us on this bonus episode of the podcast. Make sure you get your tickets at ludlowpianofestival.com. Thank you, Alistair, and we'll see you next time.